All right, I want you to keep your Bibles out tonight. In fact, I want you to start with Matthew. I'm going to ask you to turn to four different places with me in the Bible tonight. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 6, a passage of Scripture from the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus was preaching and teaching there in the early chapters of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, and go down to verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Here's what the Bible says. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We live in a time when most people think that success is getting. When most people think that the more you have, from a possession standpoint, the more successful that you are. So if you got more money or a bigger house or a nicer car or nicer clothes, you're more successful. And I would remind you tonight that all these are things, and so many people in our world today go after things that as a result, and by the way, they get them. And the people that have a lot of things, I think, the ones that I've noticed, spend just as much time worrying and fretting about the things that they have as those people that don't have anything and don't trust God. I mean, you don't have them, and you worry and fret, and then you get them, and you still worry and fret. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was, again, speaking to the group of people that was gathered on the hillside today, but he was speaking to us. And just like so many other occasions, the philosophy of life that Jesus teaches in this book is just opposite to what the world teaches and what the world offers as the philosophy of life. He said, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And what Jesus was saying when he said, take no thought, he said, quit worrying about it. Just quit worrying about it. I'm sure most of you heard the big announcement that General Motors made yesterday. And so, of course, there's a, you know, just a lot of conversation at work. Oh, what are we going to do? You know, and I was reading some things this morning about all the retirees, salaried retirees that are over 65 that have lost their health care effective the first of the year, how they're worrying about what they're going to do. And again, whether you work for General Motors or not, we live in a world that's we live in trying times. We live in times when companies are going bankrupt and when banks are going bankrupt, and a lot of people are worried. A lot of people are fretting about the future. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You say, well, preacher, that's easy for him to say. He doesn't know what's going on today. And I would say, yes, he does. He knows what's going on today. And the things that he's put in this book are timeless things. They're in this book for our instruction. Again, this is the Word of God. And the message that he delivered back in that day on the Sermon on the Mount applies just as much today as it did back then. He said to the people back in that day, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to live. Don't worry. He said, by worrying, you can't add one stature, one little inch to your height. Can't do it. There's no way you can. I mean, you know, you can stretch yourself, but by worrying, you're not going to make yourself one bit taller. And he gives some good examples. He said, look at the lilies. They don't grow or spin or toil, and yet God clothes them. He dresses them. And he said, Solomon, who was very rich and very wise, if you compare what Solomon wore to the lilies, he didn't come close. God took care of the lilies. He'll take care of you. And so why? Here's the thing. Christianity is so simple. It's so simple. Living a life that's pleasing to God is so simple. It's just going into this book and reading what he says in this book and then just trusting what he says in this book and ordering our life by what he says in this book. And so when he says to us, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about where you're going to live. I know that you need all those things. You don't need to tell me. I know that. Just trust me. And again, I've used this illustration before, but I think it makes the point perfectly. I mean, the little ones that just went out of here. I don't think any of those are worried about, you know, what they're going to have for lunch tomorrow. They may have a desire as to what they're going to have for lunch tomorrow, but they're not going to worry about it. They're not going to worry if they're going to have clothes to wear. They're not worried about the house that they're going to live in. They expect dad and mom to take care of that. I mean, they have a childlike faith in mom and dad that, hey, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat. That's dad's job. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to live. That's dad's and dad and mom's job. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to wear. I mean, they just have a childlike faith. They just enjoy life. I mean, they just trust their parents to take care of all those things that they need. And what God says, I just want you to be like a little child. I don't want you to worry about what you're going to eat. I don't want you to worry about what you're going to wear. I know that you have need of that. Any of you have a little child come up to you and say, Dad, do you know I need to eat tomorrow? No. Well, maybe somebody did, but Adam never came up to me and said, Dad, you know I need to eat tomorrow. He might do it today, but not when he was a kid. But, you know, he never came up to me as a little kid and said, I need to eat tomorrow. I need clothes tomorrow. No, he said that was my job. And he didn't worry about it. And that's what God's saying to us. Look, you're my children. I know that you have those needs. Just trust me. Just trust me. Here's what I want to do tonight. I'll give you three examples from the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you to turn when we're going to read a little bit of their story about people who just took God at his word and said, I'm just going to trust God. And in some rough circumstances, maybe some circumstances that sort of parallel what's going on in our world today. They were in some pretty rough circumstances, and they just trusted God, and God did some wonderful things to them. First one, take your Bibles, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. This is a story of where Elijah was running from Jezebel. 1 Kings chapter 17, and you know, God had him hide out by a creek to start out with, and the birds came and fed him, and then the creek went dry. So 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8, look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She was preparing for their last meal. She had enough meal in the barrel to make two little cakes, one for her and her son. She had enough oil in the cruse to bake those cakes. One last meal, and then she said, we're just going to die. because we got nothing else to eat. And here's Elijah, said, hey, go and make me a cake first. She said, well, I can't. I don't have enough. Here's what he says. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Can you imagine how you would react if you were in those circumstances and I came to your house and say, hey, make me a little piece of bread. And you said, well, no, I only got enough for me and my son. And I said, well, make mine first. You say, what's the matter with you, preacher? Are you crazy? I only got enough for one. Just put yourself in her place. She had enough to make one last meal for her and her son. Here comes the preacher and said, well, take care of me first. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. So here was a woman down to the bottom of her resources. She had no more money coming in. She had no more meal. She had no more oil. She had just enough to make one last meal. And Elijah said, trust God. Here's what God said. You just trust God, and you make me a little cake first, and God has promised that he will take care of you and meet your need to have something to eat if you'll just trust him and do this. She did. And what did God do? He kept his promise. God knew that this woman, this widow woman, and her son needed to eat, a basic need. And God said, you just trust me, and I will meet your need. And for many days, as the Bible says, she and her son and Elijah, who stayed, they ate. They ate every day. I mean, they didn't just eat on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They ate Monday, like Brother Harold likes to, Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and I mean, they ate every single day because she trusted God and was obedient to God and said, and now she could have said, well, I don't know. I mean, if I take out the last bit of little meal and the last bit of oil, what are we going to do? And I just, sometimes I wish that when we get to heaven, God has recorded all this so we can put it up on a big screen so we can watch it. I would like to see her go to the barrel the next day. She's emptied it out. No more meal. No more oil. I would like to see her go to the barrel the next day and, just sort of, wow, there's enough for one more day. One more day. And I wonder how many days, she went, wow. One more day. I wonder if it ever became complacent to her. I wonder how long it was before she didn't even go look. She just reached in there with her scoop and she said, I know God's going to provide because it's been there day after day after day. Now see, most of us would not want to live like that. We like to have the cupboard stocked and the freezer full. And we'd like to make sure that we got meals that if all the grocery stores were emptied out, if we had a flood or something like that, they couldn't get food, that we could live for a month and a half out of the cupboard. And God says, sometimes I don't want you to live like that. Sometimes I want the cupboard to be empty so you will realize where your needs are being met, who the food's coming by. They're coming from. Why do you think, as God was leading the Israelites through the wilderness, he only gave them manna for one day? Except on Friday when he gave them 2 days because he wasn't going to send it on the Sabbath on Saturday. Because he wanted his people to learn to trust him every single day for their needs. Every single day. He didn't want them to worry about it. I mean, he wanted him to get, like I was talking about this lady. I don't know how many days was many days, but I think pretty soon she just went to the barrel and reached in because she knew it was going to be there because God made the promise. She didn't have to go over and look. Well, he did it again. She just reached her hand down there and got it. And we need to get to that point in our life where we just trust God and we know it's going to be there because he promised. Why do you think in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread? Because he wanted to remind us that he meets our needs every single day. He knows what we need, and he will meet those needs. So here's a lady, dire circumstances. She trusted God, obeyed God, and God met her need. Okay, now take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And we're going to read the first four verses. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, "Of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." Jesus and the disciples were sitting in the temple. They were sitting in that part of the temple where they had the pots or pans or whatever they collected the offering in. They were sitting in a certain spot, and everybody came by and dropped their offering in. And Jesus was just watching this procession of people. And these guys would come, and they'd make a big show of it. They'd take their purse out, a lot of coins. They'd empty it into this thing and do make a lot of clanking noise and give their offering. And they'd just come one after another. Over in the shadows was a little lady, a widow. She was sort of waiting until everything cleared out because she didn't want to make a big deal because she didn't have as much as they did to give. And so she waited to everybody else that was given lots and lots of money to the offering at the temple. She waited till all they got done. And I think she sort of just snuck in there, tried to do it in a way that she wouldn't draw attention to herself. Maybe took out her little purse and took those two little mites, less than half a penny when you put them together, and just sort of quickly cast them in without trying to make any noise, without trying to draw any attention to herself, and snuck off. She said, "Well, nobody noticed. That's just a way. I didn't want anybody to notice." But somebody did notice. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Did you see that little lady that just gave her offering? She gave more than everybody else before her." And I'm sure Peter, one of the disciples, said, "Master, what do you mean? I mean, she looked poor. She didn't have much to give. All these guys that came before, I mean, you heard their money clanking in the pans. They gave hundreds. They gave thousands. She probably gave a penny." And Jesus says, "Not how much you give, it's how much you got left over after you give." You see, all those guys that went before, they had plenty left over. They didn't need to trust me. She cast in, just two mites. But she gave everything she had. She gave everything that she had. She didn't have nothing left over. She didn't have no money to live on tomorrow. And when we trust God and obey God, not only will he meet our needs. I'm sure tomorrow, and I don't know how he did it because it's not recorded in the Bible, but I trust God enough and just to say, I bet you tomorrow, not I bet you, but I know the next day, I don't bet, Brother Harold. Just get that thought out of your mind. But the next day, God met her need. Just like he did the other widow in 2 Kings. God met her need. He knew she needed to eat, and he met her need. Not only when we obey God and trust God does he meet our needs day to day, but he notices what we do. He takes notice of it. He takes notice of it. And again, what we ought to be striving for is not to gather a bunch of things down here, but to live our life in such a way that when we get to heaven, we hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And when we are obedient to him, and when we trust him, he will notice what we do. He will meet our need. He will notice what we do. One more. John chapter 6, verse 1. John chapter 6, verse 1. Very familiar story. Been there lots of times. Well, I'll close with this one. We'll just read a couple verses. John chapter 6. In fact, let's start with verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up to a mountain. There he sat with his disciples, and the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are these among so many?" Here was a little boy, poor boy, because he had a poor boy's lunch. Cakes made out of barley and was a poor boy's lunch. And it'd be interesting to know how it came about. Did he hear Jesus have this conversation with Philip and go over to Andrew and pull out his coat and say, "Hey, mister, I can help. I got my lunch." And Jesus can have it. Or did Andrew sort of out scouting the crowd and say, "Hey, son, you got anything in that?" It's like I was doing this today, Linda. "Hey, come over here. Let me see what you got on your plate. See if there's anything I like." But I don't know if Andrew was out scouting the crowd and say, "Hey, son, you got anything in that sack that's edible?" And ask him to volunteer. I don't know how it came about. I just know that Jesus ended up with this little boy's lunch. And he gave it, he blessed it and broke it. There were 5,000 men fed. Anybody remember? We won't read it. Anybody remember how many baskets were left? Somebody tell me. Not 7, 12. There was another time there was 7 when he fed 4,000. 12 baskets. And again, the Bible doesn't say, so this is your preacher's idea of what happened. And when they got all done, Jesus gave each of the disciples a basket and said, "Hey, carry it for this little boy and help him take it home. Help him take it home." And again, you just sort of like to be there when this little boy came leading these 12 men, each one carrying a big basket of fish and bread, and his mother said, "What have you done? What have you done?" And it'd be wonderful to stand there and hear the story about how he shared his lunch. You see, when we're obedient to God and trust God and trust him again with everything we got, And again, I'm not one of these guys that say, "Hey, the world's coming to an end. Let's give everything we got to the church and go up on this mountain. We'll all wear white robes and we'll wait for Jesus to come." I'm not saying that. I'm saying we ought to have the attitude that if God asks us to give him everything, we would. We would. And trust him enough to know that he's not only going to meet our needs, and he's not only going to recognize what we did, but he is going to bless us in ways that are unimaginable. Again, can you just imagine what this little boy's mother said? Again, a poor family. Poor family. Maybe just enough, food in the house to last a day or two. And here comes this little boy who she sent off with a few pieces of bread and a few fish. And here he comes back with 12 baskets full. I mean, that's the way God works. When he finds people that are willing to trust him and willing to give, he says, I'll make sure their needs are met because I know they have needs. I know they need to eat and I know they need clothes to wear and I know they need a place to live. I will meet their needs. I will also notice what they do. And not only will I do that, I will bless them in ways that they can't even think about right now. I mean, every time I read the story of the children of Israel going through the wilderness, and I come across that verse where God says, "You limited me. I wanted to bless you more, but you limited me. You stopped me from giving you things I wanted to give you because you didn't trust me." And I sort of hope it doesn't happen this way. You probably heard the same story that I did about a guy that died and went to heaven. Somebody was showing him around, and over on the side, he saw all these big, big warehouses. And he asked whoever was showing him around, what's in those warehouses? He said, well, and the angel or Peter, whoever it was, showing him around, said, well, come on, I'll show you. And he opened the door of one of the warehouses, and there were just all sorts of good things sitting around. All sorts of good things. And the guy said, well, what are these? And his guide said, well, these are all the things that God had prepared for people that they wouldn't let him give them because they didn't trust him. I hope that doesn't really happen because, Brother Leonard, I don't want to know what I missed. But just think about it. We have a God that wants to bless us in ways that we can't even conceive of. And he just wants us to trust him. He just wants us to trust him. He'll meet our needs. He'll notice what we do, and then he'll bless us in ways that we can't imagine. And so, quit worrying. Just quit worrying. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we all should just sit back and say, you know, just sit down and cross our arms and say, okay, God, here I am. Go ahead and bless me. Give me what I need. I'm not saying that. I think if we can work, we ought to work because God uses work to meet our needs. And we ought to be smart. I mean, you know, I don't think it's smart to buy a lottery ticket. I'll spend a dollar and I'll win however much it's worth. I don't think that's smart. God wants us to work. He wants us to be smart. But more than anything else, he wants us to trust him. And he doesn't want us to spend a lot of time worrying because it doesn't do any good. He said, just trust me. I know what you need. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I dare say, if you had a little child or a little grandchild that was worried about what he was going to eat or what he was going to wear, you'd be worried about him. You would. You wouldn't want you don't want your children worried. You want them to trust you. That you know what they need, and you're going to take care of them. You don't want them to worry. If we love our children that way, I mean, again, we do everything we could to get them to quit worrying. If we love our children that way, don't you think God loves us the same way? Sure, he does. He loves us more than that. And so he says, quit your worrying. I know what you need. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer.